Heavenly Father, I thank you for another day to be able to come here and worship you with the rest of this church. And I ask that you would open our eyes and open our hearts and allow us to fully take in what Pastor Sean is going to be giving your word to us today. And that you'd use him as a good vessel and let anything that's not of you would not be left out. And just everything that is you be there for us. And that we would take it in and take it for our lives as we go forward. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cody. Amen. And Selah, and amen to that. We're in Acts of the Apostles, Season 2, Episode 5. And I was getting ready this morning. I felt like the Lord said to me, you know, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And I'm talking about me, like the shepherd. So I pray that you hear whatever. The shepherd does lots of things to different sheep. I mean, if you have shepherd and sheep relationships, it's kind of strange. You know, he leads. We like to think of it as he just leads them to places to eat, right? But then if you're the shepherd, there's also wolves, right? Dealt with wolves a lot as a shepherd. And some sheep, like, need, like, bugs picked off them. Some need to be sheared down. Some need to be picked up because they're broken. So, you know, like sheep and shepherd, depends on the sheep. Whatever your shepherd, the shepherd, wants to speak to you today, I agree with Cody, let him speak that to you. If he uses my voice, fantastic. But I want you to say this with me today. Say, don't let yourself get sleepy. Don't let yourself get sleepy. Yeah. Acts of the Apostles, we're in Acts 20, 1 through 3, as we're going through the book of Acts. And I think you can pop that first scripture for me, sir. Be great. It says this, when the uproar was over, remember what the uproar was? They're screaming, boiling mad last week, the silversmiths, like they're torqued. And all their handmade god makers, they lost money and status and their minds because they set the city in chaos. Remember, like, ah, they're screaming and yelling, you know, like the Haka. They're mad. Yeah, that's how Pastor Sharon, you've dealt with me a long time. It's like the Haka in my head. It's a scary thing when angry Polynesians are in your face screaming and they got their tongues out and spears. I don't know how tough you are. You're like, you rethink your life. You know, like, okay. Am I the problem? I don't want to be the problem. But Paul was part of the problem. But the problem wasn't really Paul. It was they lost their handmade gods and their status and their paychecks were being scrubbed out. It says, when the uproar was over, Paul sent for the believers and encouraged them. So right after this huge uproar, Paul called a special church service. He took a page from his friend Barnabas. Remember who Barnabas, the big split in the church? Yeah, that was a sad thing we learned in Acts. It splits between brothers and sisters in Christ. Even doing the right thing happens sometimes, don't they? It's tragic. But Paul remembered his friend Barnabas. He said, man, I know what that guy was good at, encouraging people. You know, there's some people around here, if you get around them like more than 4 seconds, they're going to encourage you somehow. Even if you don't know their life's in trouble, they're spitting out encouragement. You know who they are. All you're thinking who your person is. And you're like, I want to talk to them after service and tell them how awesome they are. Good, do it. Because we have some Barnabases in here. But here Paul's like, I'm going to encourage. But we just had this huge uproar. I want to encourage the believers. Because like believers might be like a little nervous after that, you know. Then he said goodbye and left for Macedonia. While there, he encouraged the believers again in all the towns he passed through. Encourage each other, spread the faith, not fear. When you got someone that's down around you, give them something. There's enough fear in the world, right? You watch the news, TikTok and Facebook, and there's enough. I'm not saying don't be authentic, but give them something, right? Say, I am the church. Yeah, spread faith, not fear. Everyone can use some authentic encouragement, right? Yeah, spread it around. Then he traveled down to Greece, and he stayed there for 3 months. Good news, he's still cooking in Greece. He's still doing stuff. Missions evangelism takes consistent commitment sometimes. It's great to see week missions trips go and people get encouraged. And the girls were in Uganda for a while. And it's awesome, right? And they planted some seeds. They did some stuff. And they served some kids. And it's fantastic. But if you're going to long-term impact a place, you're going to have to set up a tent. And you have to set up some people that are proven, that know the gospel. And they're doing something. You got to go back and re-encourage them, right? Because sometimes you get discouraged just being here in an American church. Imagine being in the middle of this little tiny island in the back village. And you don't have everything. And after a while, sometimes you can get discouraged because all your neighbors around you are doing the Haka in your face. You know, sometimes you need some encouragement, some strength. That's part of missions, right? He was preparing to sail back to Syria, which still desperately needs Jesus, when he discovered a plot by some of the Jews against his life. You know, I stop there and I go, hey, Jews, that follow the Old Testament, you still know that murder is a sin, right? How are you justifying that? It's still what the God of the universe put as the Big Ten, right? But here they are. So he decided to return through Macedonia instead. He's like, I'm tired to deal with those guys. You know, I say avoid being killed when you can. I mean, it's a good point. When you can be, like, Lord, can I avoid this one? Because sometimes he tells Paul, stay. He's going to tell Paul some hard stuff. But when he says, no, you can book, I'm like, I'm out. I don't want to take another beating. I'm done with it. I'd rather just have a sandwich and get on the boat. He's like, get out, you know. Avoid being killed when you can. That sounds simple. That sounds simple, doesn't it? Avoid being killed when you can. But how often do we run back into toxic and healthy soul-killing situations? How often do we run back into unhealthy, soul-sucking, toxic situations, and we tell the people, run from death when you can, and then here we are in our death cycle. I'm shepherding today, doing my best. Say I'm the church, and I'm going to stop that. All right, great. Acts 20, 4 through 6. Several men were traveling with him. This is the part I love. Pastor Justin loves this because he looks up how to say these things exactly. In my head, they sound way different. There was Sopater, son of Phyrus, from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy and Titius and Tropius from Asia, from the province of Asia. You know, sometimes a mission team is small, and sometimes it's muy grande. I took a bunch of young, powerful women of God to Samoa, and that's the biggest trip I've ever done, because, like, I don't know if I could. And you're going to have to sleep on the floor in a really, with no air conditioning in a dank, terrible room. Can you handle that? They were tough. It's like, wow, they're tough, because I was like, no, I need AC. You know, but sometimes you go on a trip, and I can't wait to take the guys with me, because this could be a whole different vibe. You know, sometimes it's the team that goes, and it's great. And sometimes you're by yourself, you know. It says, they went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. All those guys went on ahead. After the Passover ended, we boarded a ship at Philippi in Macedonia. And 5 days later, joined them at Troas, where we stayed a week. Imagine hosting a team that size. Imagine I brought in a team from Samoa, from Fiji, from Tonga, from Romania, I'm trying to think of places, Mexico, Panama. I brought in a team from my friends around the world. And I said, hey, we're going to cover their food and their housing or their hotel costs. Because you bring folks in, you know. Sometimes obedience is going out. Sometimes obedience is hosting. Sometimes obedience is sending. We're sending Miley. She's our little missionary right now. We had a couple missionaries. We had one in Romania, one in Panama. And Miley's she's in Hawaii. I check where she's at every day. Do you do that? Yeah. That's her mom. I'm just her pastor, you know. But she gave me her whatever the location app, so I check where she's at. I hated when she was far away. Hawaii's the furthest I'd like to see her be, you know. That girl's a missionary. That girl's a missionary, you know. A point of notice. Now, when they traveled through the same territory, it was familiar. When Paul went through the first time, it was a little rough. Paul traveled back and forth and built relationships. We can't send people where we haven't prepared a way. You know, relationships with church leaders, they existed. You know, Paul had proven people that he sent. You can't just send a bunch of yahoos. I've seen that before. A lot of people are willing to go, but are they proven able to take care of the job when they go? Ever be on a mission trip and you got to take care of one of the missionaries because they're being a cornhead? Cornhead is like definition for like choosing to be an idiot. Cornhead, you know. It's terrible. You got to send people that actually have a relationship with God. That's important. It was really exciting this week. I like the GCU Lopes because it's a Christian university, and I know one of their great teachers, and they pray before practice, and they pray before games. But all the guys didn't come there with a strong Jesus relationship. They got recruited, and you had to have a Christian faith. Well, one of their stars this week, before this practice, before the game, they were playing against the number 23rd ranked team in the nation. And they're the GCU Lopes. They're small, you know. And one of their stars gave his heart to Jesus that Saturday before the game. So the Friday before the game. Yeah, and he was talking about his testimony. He goes, I kind of played the game. I didn't mean to. I was lukewarm. Because I was a lukewarm believer. I was kind of just a little bit in with Jesus. Literally, it was depending on where I was at, you know. Sometimes I'm in with Jesus on Sunday, and sometimes I'm clubbing it up Friday. And I just didn't, and I knew I was doing stuff that was wrong being at the club, but if because you stumble, it didn't get out of there. And he was in that moment, and God came in and just met with him. One of the staff met with him. And Jesus just showed up. He goes, I got saved. And they want to tell her after the game, the first thing he said, if they upset this team, it was a big upset. The first thing he said, I gave my life to Jesus. I want to say that first. It's like, yeah. So I'm just saying, God, I love when God does stuff. Your story, authentic story, you know. And it's not on there, don't worry, Jared, but in Luke 19, 13, it says that we have work to do until he comes back. Occupy, it says, till he comes. That means invest well what he gave you. Occupy is investing well what you gave. Every disciple is expected to do some kind of kingdom work. So if you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ, he's still got a work for you to do if you're breathing and moving and having your being. There's something he's asked for each one of us to do. And it's like a fishnet, or should be woven together, all our paths in Jesus to do what God asks us to do. But if my string isn't doing what it's supposed to do, and Derek's string not doing what it's supposed to do, and Pastor Sharon didn't even put a string on the board, man, we're in trouble, you know? Paul's just modeling what he saw, and he's from Jesus and from the church. He says, you go do this, and I'll be there in a minute. Paul sent a team and said, you go do this, and I'll catch up with you later. I promise I'm coming back. I'll meet with you. Jesus said that to the church, right? Who's the church now? I am. Acts 20, 7 through 9. On the first day of the week, we gathered. On the first day of the week. Where were they meeting? Remember, they're meeting on Sabbath. The end of the week. Yeah, Shabbat. They're having at the synagogue. And now they got this place in Ephesus. They've been for 2 years. Paul's been renting out a hall, you know. But now they're meeting on the first day of the week. He gathered with the local believers to share the Lord's Supper. He said to do this in remembrance of him. New service times, I guess he announced. You know, said, hey, our new service times, we're going to meet from now on the first day of the week. He had a church service, and then they had communion. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Paul was preaching to them. And since he was leaving the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. Kept on talking until midnight. The upstairs room where they met was lighted with many flickering lamps. Sweet ambiance, right? And as Paul spoke on and on. You know, there's a preacher's got to pray for them because there's a moment where you got to linger in the Holy Spirit, you should be, versus on and on. I'm just saying, and Luke seems to indicate his opinion. Luke is writing this out as these things are happening, and it seems to be his opinion is it's on and on. The anointed Paul, who spread the gospel around the world, maybe on this occasion was talking too much. Now, because I love my wife, I did not run that clip from Run DMC, but if you know it, I almost did. I thought Luke penned it at first. These are the lyrics. Homeboy, you talk too much, and you never shut up. You know, Luke's right. I'm writing this down. He went on and on. Yeah, you know, Run DMC, like, hey, those are lyrics, you know. Paul was talking maybe too much in this instance. Well, it could be why, because Paul's human. Paul's not perfect. Even great humans are occasionally messy. So we got to ask ourselves honestly, am I talking too much? Am I, in my life, talking too much? Am I blah, 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 repeat, blah, 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 I'm smart, blah, 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 I'm really smart, blah, 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 I've researched smartness, blah, blah, blah. Am I talking too much? Because you promised you could be someone who trusted, but you're talking too much? Did you hear that one? You promised you could be trusted, but you're talking too much. Oh boy, you never showed up. Right? Are you talking too much, but speaking up too little? You can talk too much, but not speak up very well. For Christians, am I walking what I'm talking? Am I walking what I'm talking? You know, there's two things you can pray for this preacher for that I do all those above. Like when you pray for me on Saturday, pray that I do all that. Well, you know, but it says, Luke says, as Paul spoke on and on, a young man named Eutychus, sitting on the windowsill, became drowsy. I'm going to pause here, keep the scripture up, because I'm going to linger. I want to say this, be careful where you camp yourself. He's the only one that camped near an open window. There's things that we know that are like on the flickering light of maybe dangerous for our faith. And we lean up against things. And sometimes if you get too sleepy and you're leaning up against something dangerous, you're going to fall. Temptation is harder when your light's flickering. Notice how the light was flickering? I'm just making some analogies. Ever have a flickering light? When you're feeling like, I'm in with Jesus, you rarely do you come out of worship service or something, you connected with God and go, I'm going to run right back into the thing that makes me a mess. Rarely does that happen. Usually you fall into your mess when you've been flickering. Anybody? Say, thank you, sure. And also, the later at night, the dumber the decisions y'all make. Right? Big falls will kill you, too. Some falls like, oh, I fell last time. Yeah, but you're putting yourself near a window right now. Hey, you're putting yourself near a window, and you flicker in. I'm listening. I heard this before. Paul's going on and on. I heard the gospel. I have to be careful. I heard this. I heard it. Boom. Splat. Splat. Finally, he fell asleep. On and on till midnight. I heard it already. I just got too sleepy. You know, I've seen sleepy happiness in under 15 minutes here. I see this, man, sleepiness just comes upon us, you know. Paul talked on and on, and finally Eutychus fell sound asleep, and he dropped three stories to his death below. Wow, that'll be a bummer of a service ending. Boom. Like, wow. I freaked out last week when Dennis tripped on the rug. I almost threw myself under him. Dennis was like, he was like, I got this. He's like a skate ninja. But I was like, ah! I was, you know, screaming like I was 4 years old, put myself in harm's way. And all of a sudden, you know, you're preaching and someone falls to their death, Jesse. You know, that doesn't do a lot for your confidence, I wouldn't think. And it was a kid. A young man dropped three stories. I want to read it in the Amplified real quick for on and on's sake and for fun. Acts 27 through 9 in the Amplified. Now on the first day of the week, say Sunday, when we gathered together to break bread, share communion, Paul began talking with them. Intending to leave the next day, he kept on and on with his message until midnight. I hear you, Derek. You're like, Pastor, you could preach all day long and I'd sit here. Thank you, Derek. He's like, yeah, I would, Pastor. But, you know, I hear Andrew going, Pastor, I got to work tomorrow morning, so you better get on with it. Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't want to be on and on. Now, there were many lamps in the upper room where they were assembled. And there was a young man named Eutychus, Lucky. First of all, if there were many lamps, shouldn't one of those brothers who loved Eutychus say, hey, homeboy, you're leaning against the open window. I see it in your life, red flagging you. I see you leaning against the open window. And he sees a man of God over there like, hey, dude, you're leaning against your window. I love you. Don't be mad, Eutychus. Let me wake you up because you've been sleepy. Why? You've been so sleepy because your light's been a little bit flickery, and now you're in an open window. Flat flag, red flag, I love you. Thank you. Too many energy drinks, Pastor. I'm red flagging you. Yes. Thank you. And his name was Lucky. I don't know if that was supposed to be funny. Like, Lucky, you got to hear Paul in his prime. Dude, you got to hear Paul in his prime. You're lucky. You're lucky you're famous for falling on your head. He was sitting on the windowsill. He was sinking into a deep sleep. And as Paul kept on talking longer and longer and longer, he was completely overcome with sleep and fell down from the third story, and he was picked up as dead. I have some other points I'd like to linger on a minute. Numero uno. An obvious point. Too much of anything can kill people's attention for sure. There comes a point where we talk too much. All right? Anybody been accused of talking too much? I talk too much. Oh, boy. I know. And too much of a good thing often still is too much. It's hard to believe, but I should not sit down in front of a tub of Nutella and polish it off. It's a good thing, you know? Ben and Jerry's fish food. You put one of those little things in front of me, I'm going to finish it because I finish what I start. But too much of a good thing is not often a good thing, you know? Also, how about this? Don't get too comfortable leaning against potential dangerous situations, window boy, because falls happen. Falls happen. And some falls will kill you. Here's the fourth point. God's awesome. And Paul knew God, right? So let's pick up in Acts 20:10. I think I'm amplified still for a second. If I'm not, it's fine. But Paul went down and threw himself on him and embraced him. Again, this is not a technique. You're like, Paul did it. So if someone like, Dennis, were you to fall, it would be crazy if I would have done like a Jimmy Superfly Snook on you. Bah! Be healed in Jesus. I would have broke 8 ribs. Unless God told me to do that. Like it's not, we find these things in our Christian faith that God says, yeah, go ahead and pray over that thing for somebody. But it's not, let's pray over these for 1995 and pray over these cheats and send them out to the nation. Stop that. Stop that. That's not authentic. That's a formula. What does God say, you know? And so I've never thrown myself in it, but hopefully I never have to, especially a kid who maybe just fell to his death. Like, Paul, you trying to finish him off? What are you doing? I'd have been like, bro, he fell out the window. Get off him. Paul knew God. Paul went down and threw himself on and embraced him and said to those standing around him, don't be troubled. Hey, the kid's dead. He fell. Don't be troubled because he's alive. I got a picture of what I would have been like in that moment. What? Boom. Man, you see that disciple Sean? He's always losing his head. Every time God does something crazy, he's blowing up over there. I'd be like screaming, huh? Are you crazy? This just happened? Acts 20:11 through 12. What happened right after this? So Paul's talking on and on till midnight. Eutychus falls to his death. Paul brings him back to life. So what's the next thing? I'm thinking Whataburger. Nope. Says, then they all went back upstairs. Sweet. It's past midnight. The miracle must really have them pumped up, though. Like, they saw a miracle. Like, let's have church. I can see Hondra going, yeah, it's another service. Let's do it. There's nothing like the dead raising to gather your adrenaline and your faith. If that doesn't raise your faith, I mean, what else would have to happen? Sometimes, though, there's things in our life that have been dead things we thought were dead, and God's brought back to life. And we have ignored them and not given the praise they deserve, and therefore they have not stirred us and we're sleepy. We forgot the last thing he did that we cried out for. And we're so busy crying out. I'm just picking on the church and myself. These are things I rake myself with. We're so busy crying out for the next thing we want him to do that we didn't give him enough for what the last thing he did. And we fear that he's not going to do it again. Cody reminded us last on Saturday. It's time to trust him on another level. That's what he told us on Saturday. I said, okay, Cody, he's been stretching me. Anybody feeling stretched in your faith zone? He's stretching me. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. I was talking to Cheyenne out here. Cheyenne's big and pregnant. She's very uncomfortable being stretched right now. She's done being stretched. She wants that human outside, not inside anymore. Right, that she's at that phase. But my daughter-in-law, Hannah, she's beginning the stretching phase. She's being stretched, you know, and things are changing, and hormones are changing. You get more tired chasing a small person around. Stretched. But how many of our faiths like that right now? Is that a good analogy? You feeling a little pregnant? A little stretched? God put something in you? Stretching you? It says they all went back upstairs and shared the Lord's Supper and ate together. Yeah, Whataburger. But they did it for the Lord. They did another service. Paul continued talking to them until dawn. And then he left. How long is your church service? Honestly, have I ever kept you till dawn? Never once. I may have taken you over 11:45 maybe a couple times in 20 plus years. Maybe. And it might not have been my fault. I'd like to see the tape. I want a review on that foul call yesterday, that review on the whole Buffalo game. I want a review. Anyways, I'm forgiven. I moved on. How long's your church service? You get out way before dawn.
Say thank you, Pastor.
Say thank you, Pastor. Okay. Meanwhile, the young man was taken home well and alive. God, so awesome. And everyone was greatly relieved. Like, no kidding. Imagine, like, showing up, like, hey, he was dead. You missed the service, but he's not anymore. Here he is. Take care of him. We just fed him. You know, I was so grateful that my dog's leg wasn't broken last week. I'm still living off that. Every time I see him or he annoys me, which is every 14 minutes, I remember how grateful I am that he healed, you know. Acts 20, 13 through 16. Paul went by land to Assos, where he had arranged for us to join him while we traveled by ship. He joined us there, and we sailed together to Mytilene. And the next day, we sailed on to the island of Chios. And the following day, we crossed the island of Samos. And a day later, we arrived at Miletus. Mission travel sounds exhilarating, but constant travel is exhausting. Exhausting. Have you ever traveled more than 14 hours to do anything? How do you feel like get when you got there? You're like, yeah, let's do another 14. No matter how young you were, you're like, I need a minute. And I need to get out of this car with this person. And I need to get, we need to hang up some smelly things in here to make the car smell better. And there's a ton of trash. I never ate that much fast food in my life. No wonder I feel sick. I just got here, but I can't speak right now. Everybody, you're right. But imagine doing old school like sailing vessels. How exhausting, how expensive, how much time it takes. Paul decided to sail on past Ephesus, for he didn't want to spend any more time in Asia. It was kind of rough. He was hurrying to get to Jerusalem, if possible, in time for the festival of Pentecost. Remember what Pentecost was? We talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in believers' lives. And we try to do things authentic here. So I want to remind you, have you asked him to baptize you in his Spirit? You can do it in your bedroom. You can grab one of the pastors here and say, could you lay hands on me? And sure, God will still be God. Like, it's not because the pastor laid hands on you. It's God's Spirit. But ask him. Man, change my life. Anybody else? You can put your hand real quick. Did they change your life? Change my life. Just change my life. I heard him better. I saw him better. Man, it was easier to worship God. I mean, so many things, you know. But Paul was in a hurry to get the work done. I can respect that. I like him. He's a worker, you know. Acts 20, 17 through 20. But when they landed at Miletus, he sent a message to the elders of the church at Ephesus, asking them to come and meet him. When they arrived, he declared this, you know that from the first day I set foot in the province of Asia until now, I've done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I've endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. Paul's like, I've been beaten, I've been mocked, I've been persecuted, I've been left for dead. And he says this, I never shrank back. I never shrank back. That's a big statement right there, too. How many times have we stepped into it? And how many times have we stepped back from it? Or we're supposed to step into it. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear. Oh, he's a shepherd. I forgot. Pastor Justin, he's shepherd talking now. He switched hats somewhere. He's talking to this church in Ephesus, and he wants them to know, hey, remember, I took a beating, and I never shrunk back. And I want you to remember, I never shrunk back also from telling you what you needed to hear. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. When we read that, do we want to hear that from Paul or from the Bible? Do we want him to speak to us publicly? And do we want him to come into our homes and speak to us? Like, because sometimes he needs to do both, right? Good or bad, affirmation from the Father is amazing. And correction is amazing too. I'd rather him deal with me privately than publicly. I'd rather him come to my home and deal with me there first and said, Pastor, found on the streets of AJ, surrounded by ice cream containers. You know, not good. Do we really desire truth spoken to us about our public lives and our private lives? Are they two different lives? Truth that could contradict how we're living our lives, do we want to hear that? The world behind me, the cross before me, no shrinking back, no shrinking back. Don't let your light flicker, because you could fall from your window. Don't shrink back. Acts 20:21. I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin, and the necessity of turning to God, and the necessity of having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a slide, because we can't forget the necessities. Salvation is based on the necessities. Must for salvation. We must repent. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you're not Jesus, you have a repentance you need to do at some point in time in your life, just probably yesterday. But if you've never, there's things that are unconfessed in our life to him that we never asked him forgiveness for and never let us be cleansed, then he says that's not real salvation. It says we must repent and then turn. The necessity of turning to God. That means not only am I not going to sit on the windowsill, I'm not even going to go near the window anymore. Actually, I'm not going to the third floor for a long time until I'm strong enough to go to the third floor. Why? Because every time I go up there, I see that window go, man, that's a nice view. It's cozy up here. I'm just a little sleepy. It's fine. Boop! No more third floor for me. I'm turning. And it says, have faith in Jesus. Is he Lord? Like, does he make the rules? I have a bracelet that reminds me I'm not in charge. I serve somebody, and I have to do what he says even when I don't want to. Sometimes shepherding is great. I like to cuddle sheep and say how awesome we are. And I like to bring us to green pastures. You know, I don't like being the guy that has to smack wolves with a stick. Over 25 plus years of pastoring, 20 plus years here, it's part of the job of shepherding. I don't like it. I'm good at it. I don't like it. I don't like having to like shear something down in someone's life either. I like the sheep to go through the car wash of Jesus. Like, yeah, there's a car wash called the Bible right over there. You read it, you know, you'll never have to be sheared by me, bro. God will do it. I tell you, he will. It's better to be sheared in private by Jesus than public by anybody. But for our shepherding sometimes goes, hey, man, Andre, man, you're sitting near the window. I just got to tell you because I love you. I'm your pastor, and you got to put down the ice cream too, bro, because Kaylee's calling me, and then she's taking pictures like cookie dough. You know, I just, all right. Acts of the Apostles 20, 22 through 24. And now I'm bound by the Spirit. So I don't have a choice. My life is not my own. I have no choice anymore. I'm a disciple. I got baptized. Baptism is so important to make that public stance, to go, I'm in. So the public around you can go, remember you're in, Derek. I was there that day, bro. And I know you're going through a hard time, but I was there when you died to yourself. And I know you can do this. You can actually do this. Right, that's that declaration day, right? It's important. He said, I was bound by the Spirit. I don't know what awaits me except that. I don't know what's ahead of me on this trip except that. I know this. What I'm about to tell you is a thing I know about this trip. Except that the Holy Spirit tells me, in city after city, jail and suffering lie ahead. I've been cruising with you. I've been taking you places. God's been doing miracles. Your lives have been changing. I've been encouraging you. I have my own faults. I do talk on and on. He said, I don't know if this next trip holds, but I'm going to tell you guys, this is what it holds for me. The Holy Spirit said jail and suffering. He said, I got to go. I know, but it's going to suck big time. The Holy Spirit tells me in city after city, jail and suffering lie ahead. What's his response to that? And that this is where Paul is so proven. You just got to go. Because it's tough. It's tough to run into suffering when you don't know what's coming. You know? If I said, hey, you're invited to a party today, and there's a 50% chance you're going to have suffering, you'd be like, I ain't going. It's only 50% chance. You could have a good time. Or I could suffer. Yeah. What about there's a 40% chance? 30% chance Party Dave's like, I might be in. You know. Sean's like, give me 20, I'm in. He's like, no, Pastor, I want zero suffering. No jail time, thank you. The Holy Spirit tells me in city after city, jail and suffering lie ahead, but my life is worth nothing to me unless. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it to finish the work God assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Like, that's my job now. I died to what I was doing. I was a tent maker, and I was making bank because everyone lives in tents, you know? And when they have marketplace, tents, you know? Need a patch on that tent? Yeah, I do tents. And then he said, no, you're going to follow me. And things are going to be amazing. Your life's going to change. But at some point in time, we know this from Acts 2, persecution happens. But he says more than that. He said, I'm telling you, I'm going to jail and suffering are my next road. But unless I finish my work, it's not worth anything. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God, that's my job. Say, I'm the church now. That's our job. That's our job now, right? Acts 20, 25 through 27. And now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. Now I know that none of you to whom I preach the kingdom will ever see me again. I declare to you today that I've been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. If anyone suffers, it's not because I talked on and on, actually. It's not like I didn't speak up. It's not like I didn't prove myself. It's not like I didn't labor. It's not like I wasn't there. I wasn't perfect because sometimes I talked on and on. But other times, I declare to you, I've been faithful. If someone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. I didn't shrink back from declaring all that God wants you to know. And he was talking to the church. All the church needed to know. I feel like we know it all. Heard it before. If we come to the place where we heard it before and we stop hearing it, flicker, flicker, flicker. Flicker, flicker, flicker. Don't be sleepy, Eutychus. Don't get sleepy. Acts the Apostles 20, verse 28 through 31. So guard yourselves and God's people. So guard yourselves and God's people. So guard yourselves and God's people. Disciples, any disciples out there? Any shepherds? Any fathers, any leaders, anybody in God's kingdom, God's put you over anything, given you any responsibility, the first step of that is guard yourself. If you don't guard yourself, you're going to be taken out, and there's no way you can guard God's people. And if you're not guarding yourself, God's people are in trouble. But he says, guard yourself, and then your other job is not all about me. I guard me real good. I'm so guarded, you can't touch me, devil. And it's all about me. I'm not worried about guarding God's people because I wouldn't step up and share what God's people needed to know. I didn't say anything to Eutychus, or I didn't provide a green pasture. Whatever it did, if I didn't do that, I'm not taking care of God's people. So you have to take care and guard yourself. And then our next job is to guard somebody else. And if you're in the body of Christ, there's somebody sitting near you, by you, that could use your guarding in prayer. I guarantee it. Is anybody here? Raise your hand if you do not want prayer ever from anyone. Wow. Unanimous decision. Everyone in here said they'd take extra prayer. Like, guard each other. Comes here, that happens to me all the time. I'll send a song sometimes. Sometimes I don't. Ed will come to mind. I'll start praying for Ed. Pray for Andrew. Because they're getting married. I pray for Andrew. Hey, Andrew, pray for Panda. They're going to be getting married. You know, they need prayer. Alejandro just got married. And Kaylee's something. They need prayer. Pray for the parents. We need prayer. Pray for little kids you see up front running around. See those ones raising their hands for Jesus. Pray for Jesse. Pray for Caitlin. Pray. Look around. Like, everyone said they wanted. So you're like, I don't know what to do with my day. I am so bored. Say, well, I'm going to guard myself. How do I do that? I want to check my own flicker. I want to light my candle. I want to get my time with Jesus. And I want to guard myself. And I'm going to let him say whatever he wants to say. What if he says something hard to me, like suffering? What if he said suffering? Because I want to hear, here I am, the one you love. I'm the apple of your eye. And yes, I can have lots of ice cream today. Thank you, the Holy Spirit. So good. Test that spirit. Sometimes he'll tell you those things, and you should hear those things. Some of you don't hear that enough from Jesus. It's all work and no play. You don't have, you and Jesus, you check the box with Jesus. I did my Jesus time. No, let him spend time with the dad. Maybe you don't know what that's like, but get to know what that's like. And sometimes you got to let them tell you something hard. Guard yourselves and guard God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock. God's flock, his church. How is it purchased? With his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you leaders. So if you're a leader over anything, especially in God's kingdom, you will be held accountable to do the job. And when people rush into those positions, I've seen them rush in. Like, I'm going to go to Bible school, right, so I can be a pastor. Like, that's not how it works. If that's what you're doing, like that, you got to be called to it. Like, get educated. I'm not anti-educated. Dr. Heidi, educated. I get it. But you can't just take a job that you're not called to, because you'll get murdered and the sheep will get killed. It's proven here. It'll come up in a minute. He says this, I know that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Here's where it stings. Even some men from your own camp, even some men from your own group are going to rise up. Even some men from your own group are going to rise up and destroy the truth. Why? In order to draw a following. No fake Jesus. I could plan a church to get 50,000. If he didn't tell you to do it, don't do it. Well, 50,000 souls, yeah, but if it's all about you, he didn't tell you to do it. You can use your charisma. You can use the lights and the camera and the action and the series and the logos and all that. Wonderful, but if you're just trying to draw men after yourself, that's fake Jesus. He says this right after. People drawing order to follow themselves. Then he says, watch out. Watch out. Remember, I said this, watch out. Remember. Please remember, watch out. I'm trying to tell you there's windows coming, and Paul's saying, I'm gonna be gone. The central figure for pushing the church outside of the apostles, because I'm going to be gone, and then what's going to happen? Are you still going to be the church? Are you going to let false wolves come in? Are you going to guard yourself and guard the flock after I'm gone? Is that what's going to happen? Or same old song and dance. I was too sleepy. I fell. I was taking care of me. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and my care over you, night and day, and my many tears. Chatty Paul was not perfect, but he was proven. Chatty Paul wasn't perfect, but he was proven. He was a proven shepherd, proven pastor, proven apostle, proven disciple. What more did they want from him, right? More. Paul is proven unto death. The Holy Spirit is a big theme, and so is being proven. Acts 20:32. And now I trust you to God and the message of his grace. You know, at the end of the day, Paul goes and says, this is God's mission, not mine. Whew, leaders need to remember that sometimes. It's God's mission, not mine. I'm going to trust you to God. Like, I can't. And I'm going to trust you that his message of grace is going to continue spreading amongst you, because you really got impacted by it. So how can you not spread a little fire to your friend? Like, I know his message is going to do what it promised to, because why? God spoke it. Even if you're against it, God's still moving. It's still happening. And now I'm going to trust you to God and to the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. He said, don't lose heart. I see you. The road of sacrifice is rewarded. Trust me. If he's asking something of you, there's nothing he's not going to give you better that he's asking you to strip away. If he asks you to back up from the window, it's because he cares about you not dying. Like, if God's after something, if you give it to him, I guarantee you the inheritance that you're going to build up is better than whatever he was after. Share his grace. It's part of your life. It's part of the message of the gospel. Share his grace in your life. The crazy things that happened to you, I'm glad that player got up. The first thing he said on the mic was, I got saved last night. Yeah, we just upset. We're on national scene now. We got a spotlight on the Lopes. The GCU Lopes are national news. ESPN's popping with it. What do you got to say? You're the star of the game. He goes, I got to tell you, I got saved last night. Woo! Yeah, Lopes up, you know. Acts 20:33-35. I'm starting to get to that place where am I talking on and on, you know. I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. I didn't get into this because I got paid well. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and the needs that were with me. It's like, the church wouldn't be up if I wasn't putting in. Paul's like, I established that. I put my sweat equity. I put my hands in. I put my life in. I did everything. He said, I've been a constant example. How many know that's not easy? Ever been an example? Anybody ever be an example at any point in time in your life? Raise your hand if you had to be an example for something.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a parent, your hand should definitely be up. Ever had to be a constant example? Man, pray for those people in politics. Pray for those people that stand behind microphones and preach God's word. Pray for people that worship on stage. Pray for those folks. There's a huge constant example. It's not easy, especially if you're human. People are messy, right? Constant example is hard. Paul said, I've been a constant example. I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember. He's like, and I'm going to sign off with, you should remember. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Am I primarily a giver or a receiver? And only you can answer that before the Lord, but you got to ask about that physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, I don't know, institutionally, socially. Am I more of a guy that, what am I going to get out of this? Or what am I going to be able to give in this? Are you the person who, like, man, I can't wait for so-and-so to rub my feet? Been married 46 years. How many times you rubbed her feet? Do-do-do-do-do-do. Were you in for that? How many things in our life are like that? Jesus said, it's better to be a giver than a receiver. And as believers, sometimes we can fall in near the window of this, I just need to receive. Yeah, you should go right to the Lord. When it comes to other people, you should be so filled up, you have no problem giving away. That's not easy, especially constantly, right? God does have ways, and they're generous. Am I walking and talking like him? Let's go to Acts 20, 36 through 38. When he had finished speaking with them, he knelt and prayed with them, and they all cried. See, Jody, grown men were crying, so you and I are okay. The two of us, we get like watch a Snicker bar commercial, and some dad does something sweet for a grandkid or a kid, and we're in tears, you know. We're manly, though, super manly. And so they had finished, they knelt and prayed with them, and they all cried. They all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye. They were sad. They were sad most of all because he had said they would never see him again. Then they escorted him down to the ship. I got a picture of how missionaries sometimes would pack caskets before they headed out to places. Imagine that. Like, you don't want to imagine that, but that happens. And that's kind of our life, you know, packing caskets. I can remember, never expected this. It wasn't suffering of Paul, or was it because I was naturally directly preaching the gospel? Maybe there was related in the spiritual realm. I have no idea. But my first trip to Samoa, I almost died. A mosquito took me out. It was the most terrible. I never felt so terrible in my life. I thought I was going to die. I laid my head down, making my peace with the Lord one night. I can't imagine if the shoe was on the other foot, what I'd have been if that was Dr. Heidi. It was easy to handle for me because I had given my life. And I figured I didn't expect a mosquito to take me out. I thought I was going to be beheaded someplace in the Middle East or something. Honestly, when I got saved, that's what I thought. My destiny ends there. I'm willing to go or send me. A mosquito, Lord, that's wimpy. But I had to release that. What is the thing that he's asking you to release that you're afraid? Like, what is the thing? I think God's after us because he's stretching us to grow us in something. And before he's trying to wake us up, like the song today, I know the song, he's trying to wake us up from where we were sleeping. He's trying to get us back on track to go, hey, you have a message to send to the earth, and it's the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's the grace in your life, right? Imagine someone you loved that was proven, they said they weren't coming back. Man, I tell Miley she's never allowed to say that. Even if God tells her, you just keep telling me, I'm on my way, Pastor. Why? Because I want her around all the time. But sometimes he sends us places and we don't come back from them because of what he asks us to do. I don't know what your thing is during this series. I don't know if you feel your light's been flickering. You feel you've been near a window? You feel like actually God's asking you to step into another whole realm of trust, right, Cody? A relationship with him. And maybe you need the Holy Spirit. And yet you never asked him. And maybe you like need to repent. And maybe you need to turn. Or maybe it's your first day and you never accepted Jesus in your life. And you're like, Pastor, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but I felt different here. And you're like, I need to know Jesus. And I want to know him better than you do, Pastor Sean. If you've never accepted Jesus, I'll stand here for a second before I head to the door, and I'll pray with you personally. But take a minute, and if you need someone to pray with you, raise your hand, and someone will come pray with you. If you just need a moment with you and God, for whatever he's speaking to you, however he shepherded you this morning, give him a chance to speak to you. We're just going to take a few seconds. That was a great song. Fine with it. I don't need music, but music's great. Atmosphere's great. But if you need prayer for something specific, and maybe you don't want to say what it is, you just need prayer, you want to raise your hand, someone will come put their hand on your shoulder and pray over you. If you need Jesus in another way, you're welcome to come here. If you just need a moment alone with God, stay in your seat. I want to give you a moment before I release the kids. It's 11:30. I'm 10 minutes under. My on and on is over. But don't miss your moment with God, because that moment, everyone, he throws himself on you when you felt like you were dead, he can bring you back to life. Let God throw himself on you today. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just throw yourself on us today. Where we need revival, throw yourself on us today. Where we need courage, throw yourself on us today. Where we need faith, where we need patience, where we need love, where we need long suffering. Father, throw yourself on us today. Guard us, Lord, that we can guard the other people in our lives. You be glorified with that, Lord. I thank you for your Spirit as you just beginning to move and have your way. Father, I just thank you for this church. I thank you that they're a great constant example of your favor and your face. I pray they'd be able to hug each other, shake a hand, connect with a heart before they leave today, Father God. One of the greatest parts of service is connection, Father. So connect us today, our nets, and be glorified in that, in Jesus' name. Amen.